All this week, we're going to talk about some of the films being shown at Silver Docs, a festival of documentary films at the American Film Institute Silver Theater here in the Washington, D.C. area. And we begin with the story of the Waits, an all-American family who take a vacation to a small town in Utah. Everything seems idyllic until they're attacked by hordes of vegetarian goblins. Vegetarian goblins. Yes, if the plot sounds familiar, you may have seen Troll 2, which is, by several accounts, the worst movie ever made. Dentist George Hardy starred as the dad when the picture was made 20 years ago, but he never heard a thing about the picture until one of his patients asked him about the movie.
Within a day or two, I got a copy of Troll 2 on VHS. And I remember taking that thing and putting it in and watching my first scene with Margot on the couch.
I'm worried about Joshua. He's still seeing Grandpa Seth.
When I was a kid, I had an imaginary playmate, too.
But it wasn't your dead grandfather.
And I thought, oh, man, this is bad. This is really, really bad.
Michael?
Yeah?
Who are the goblins?
Troll 2 is now a cult classic whose fans believe it's not just bad, it's stupendously bad. And if you're a fan of Troll 2 or another bad movie, what is it that makes a really terrible movie great? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Michael Paul Stevenson co-starred in Troll 2 as the kid, Joshua, and he's now made a documentary called Best Worst Movie, and he joins us here today in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thanks, Neil. Happy to be here.
And I guess we have to begin by pointing out that Troll 2 has absolutely no connection with Troll 1, and then, in fact, there are no trolls in the movie.
Are you suggesting that there are, things wrong with Troll 2? Yeah, there are no trolls in Troll 2, only goblins.
And you, I guess, grew up with this movie. I mean, you were how old when this was made?
I was 10 years old. This is the first movie that I was cast in. And got the lead role as Joshua Waits in the film and, made the movie, went to the audition. I remember going into the audition and just seeing this smoke-filled room of 9 or 10 Italians just chattering and being confused, and suddenly the director, Claudio Fragasso, he kind of emerged from the smoke and he started screaming directions at me, and he said, pretend that there's a scary spider on your face, and I would scream, and I just remember during the audition screaming over and over.
Ed got the part, like Faye Ray got the part because of her talents with the screaming. And in the meantime, obviously you went on to do other things afterwards, but somehow this picture took on a life of its own.
Absolutely. It's interesting because, after I did the movie and throughout my teenage years, I was dreadfully embarrassed by this movie. I wanted nothing, to do with this film. I denied being a part of it and really didn't want to have anything to do with Troll 2. And about 4 years ago, I started getting messages from people claiming that they were fans of the movie, and they'd send them through MySpace or some of the other social networking websites. And I would get messages like, are you Joshua Waits? Please say it is so. And at first, I was just completely baffled and thought, why? What is going on with this? And then those emails were followed by pictures of these fans having Troll 2 parties in their basements. And it was happening not just throughout the country, but throughout the world. And the question that kept running through my head was, why? What's going on with this?
And at that point, did you go get a copy of the picture and look at it again?
No. I actually just started, I really became fascinated in what was happening. I had just finished reading the book by Malcolm Gladwell called The Tipping Point. Mm-hmm. And I saw some things happening with Troll 2. And it was a morning soon after that I woke up and I said to myself, wait a minute, I'm the star of the worst movie ever made. There's a story here. And all of a sudden it was like I had embraced Troll 2. I became very fascinated with what was happening, and I'd go on and I'd see kids listing Troll 2 as their, favorite film. Mm-hmm. And there'd be this list, and Shawshank Redemption and Casablanca and then Troll 2. And I kept thinking, why? What's going on with this? And this is way before any of the screenings or any sort of phenomenon.
And these are late night screenings at various places. And you document some of those in your movie and go along. We go along with you to some of these, and they're some of them are pretty hilarious. But as you got into it, you had to have done some meditation on what it was, finally, that made this movie come back from the dead, not to rewrite the plot.
Right. The biggest thing, you know, I think with a movie that is so bad that it becomes good, if you will, is that it starts out, it's 100% genuine. And with Troll 2, that was the case. You know, we weren't trying to make a bad movie. We weren't playing it for laughs. You know, we weren't winking at the camera. Everybody showed up on set with scripts in their hands, you know, on point, ready to run from trolls. And we thought this was a serious horror film that we were making. We thought we were making a good horror movie. And I always imagined that, I was making the next Gremlins or the next Labyrinth. And it's that sincerity that has led to this, that and, you know, several other factors that have kind of come together in this perfect maelstrom of this, you know, this cinematic disaster. but that sincerity is what is rooted in a film that, you know, is so fundamental in a film that is so bad that people end up, you know, enjoying it. With Troll 2, it's very sincere. It's very earnest.
It's different in that respect than something like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is very much done tongue-in-cheek and people winking at the camera.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. What makes a bad movie good? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Jim. Jim's with us from Spencer, Iowa.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes a really bad film really wonderful is when the dialogue is absolutely awful and the actors are completely buying it.
Are completely buying it?
Oh, completely.
What picture might you submit as an example here?
Well, Faster, Faster, Pussycat, Die, Die. You know, that's a perfect example of people that had to have known that first reading, this is awful, awful stuff, and just got right in there and gave it everything.
I wonder, you were 10 years old. You can be excused. There were grown-ups in this picture, and you, Michael, you interview them in the movie, and they're saying, you know, this didn't make any sense to us at the time, but the director kept saying, just do it.
Yeah, exactly. Jason Wright and some of the other actors, you know, they would read the script, and they would say, you know, an American teenager would never say this. Maybe we should make a suggestion to the director to change it. And they'd approach Claudio Fragasso, the director, and say, hey, you know what? This is more what an American teenager would say. Can we say it like, and all of a sudden he'd, no, you read the line like I write it. I know how American teenagers talk. And that was it.
No questions asked after that.
Yeah. And we, you know, there were occasionally thoughts where people were thinking, I don't know about the green frosting on corn. What's up with this? But again, we were all, this was our first movie. And the last thing we wanted to, we were going to be movie stars. And
right.
The last thing we wanted to do is be fired from our first movie. So we fell in line.
And in this new life of Troll 2, at these various screenings, there were people who will chant the dialogue along with the film.
Oh, yeah. And there's even more than that, apart from chanting, you know, some of the screenings, people will sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat and throw popcorn. And every screening, there's different things that fans will do to make that screening unique. There was a screening in Seattle at one point where a fan dressed up as a tree in a pot and his friend dragged him into the theater to watch the movie. And he watched the entire movie standing up in a pot as a tree.
There's also a, which happens in the picture, don't ask. But there's also a scene in your picture where George Hardy, the dentist who got cast as the dad in the movie, he walks in, he's in a panel discussion, people just start screaming out, do the line, meaning there's a specific, and he knew exactly what they were talking about.
Right. Can I say the line?
You can say the line.
Yeah, the infamous, you can't piss on hospitality. That is genius. And it's very, you know, every screening we go. And George is the centerpiece of the documentary and the story, Best Worst Movie. But he, you know, his line, everywhere we go, it was that same thing. Kids chanting, you know, you can't piss on a hospital. You know, do the line,
do
the
line.
And then seeing George light up and do the line. Pretty amazing.
Jim, thanks very much for the call.
Sure.
Here's an email from Dave in Westlake, Ohio. What makes a terrible movie great? The boredom factor. There are countless well-acted, well-written, well-directed movies that are a total snore. Give me Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Bolarama any day. This from Al in Nashville, Tennessee. No question, a movie I'll never forget, Napoleon Dynamite. Low budget, weird characters, but an incredible movie. I wish more bad movies like this were made. There'd be a lot of people argue that wasn't a bad movie. Steven in Canton, Ohio, Planet Terror by Quentin Tarantino. It was so unrealistic. The best part is where an amputee has an M16 rifle attached to her as a prosthetic leg. That was a movie made to be a bad movie.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between a bad movie and a bad good film. Troll 2 is certainly not, I wouldn't consider it the worst movie ever made. It's been called the worst movie ever made, on IMDb, but there are a lot worse movies out there. And I think, what makes movie awful or the worst movie ever made is something that fails to entertain, and Troll 2 certainly does not fail to entertain.
And you, there's reviews, we see pictures of them in the movie, compulsively watchable.
Right.
Yeah. We're talking with Michael Stevenson. He's the director of a new documentary called Best Worst Movie, the child star of Troll 2. I guess it's on his resume now. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Amy on the line. Amy with us from St. Louis.
Hi.
Go ahead, Amy.
Best part about bad movies are the one-liners. And I'm thinking of Army of Darkness.
And what's the one-liner you remember?
Give me some sugar, baby.
Give me some sugar, baby.
It's classic. My friends and I will just email each other one-liners from this movie, and that's all we'll say. Hilarious.
All right, Amy, thanks very much.
No problem.
Bye-bye. I guess that you can't piss on hospitality. It's
right.
The same kind of a thing. The movie, your movie, Claudio, the director, you find him, and his wife wrote the script originally, and he has a hard time with this concept of this is the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, it was hard for him. When we went and interviewed Claudio for the first time, he didn't really understand exactly what was happening with Troll 2, why people enjoyed it. And we brought him to a screening in Los Angeles, and he started to understand that people weren't enjoying Troll 2 because it was an important film or a work of art, but that it was a different, it was an unintentional comedy. I have to say that I have tremendous respect for Claudio because he made the movie, the way that he wanted to make it, and it's so sincere and so genuine and earnest, and it's creative and it entertains.
He's also made 25 pictures. You've made one. Making one is hard. Being a filmmaker, actually making movies,
right,
that's not easy.
Oh, and can you imagine being in Italy and showing up in Utah, working with first-time actors, not even being able to speak the language? I've thought a lot about that since making Best Worst Movie, and I call it courage. He showed up and he made the film the way he wanted to make it, and I respect him for that.
Here's an email from Colin in Ann Arbor. Troll 2 is indeed the best terrible movie ever and one of the very few DVDs I actually own. My mother and I grew up with it. We've seen it dozens of times. We know all the lines and can deliver them just as poorly as the cast. It's a great movie to show to unsuspecting friends. Nothing tells you more about people than how they handle their first trip through Nilbog. Let's hear it for Grandpa Seth. Nilbog, of course, the name of the town. And if you didn't get it right away, it's goblin spelled backwards. Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. Brian with us from St. Paul.
Yes, I think that the movies you're talking about are way too new. A much better movie, I hate to say, was Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. And the reason it was such a great bad movie was, again, the actors took it totally seriously. It starred as the major vehicle. It was a 1961 America Motors Rambler Classic. This was a car that didn't even have an oil filter. It had a great spoof on the Defense Department. And the tomatoes, when they finally did attack the town, were about the size of Volkswagen bugs. And when they exploded, that was really bad special effects. But what made it the best of all was the thing that killed the tomatoes was this incredibly awful, awful pop song.
Oh, yes, I'm going to kill her. My tomato ate my sister. Yes.
It was perfect. Compulsively watchable, as you said before.
Brian,
I'm putting it on my Netflix queue.
Brian, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate
yep.
it. And in that respect, one of the curiosities was these were attacks by vegetarian goblins. This, it turns out, was the screenwriter's whole point.
Right. Yeah. When we talked to Rosella, who is the wife of Claudio, wrote the script, you know, because there's this vegetarian theme, obviously, that runs through Troll 2. But she said that at that time, she had a lot of friends that were vegetarians, and quite simply, it pissed her off. And so the goblins became vegetarians.
And they turned their victims into plants so they could then eat them.
Right.
I'm beginning to get it.
It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense if you think about it. Is the phenomenon going to continue, do you think?
Without a doubt. I mean, it's one of these things that it's supported by the fans. And every day I'll get new messages from kids that are saying things like, I thought I was the only one that liked this crazy movie, you know? And then the next thing I know, I see that they're inviting their friends from high school over to watch it the following weekend. And I don't think it's anywhere, you know, it hasn't reached that tipping point. It's still building, and it's a fun movie, and things are happening with it all over the world.
Yeah. Yet we just have a few seconds left, but George Hardy, the central character in your film, and both, I guess, by the end of your picture, he's a little tired of all of this.
Oh yeah, he probably at that time had seen Troll 2, I don't know, you know, 25, 30 times, and He had just about enough of Troll 2 and going to these screenings. I mean, like he said, you can only say that you can't piss on hospitality lines so many times.
Well, he may have to say them a few more. Michael Paul Stevenson, thank you very much for your time today. Good luck with the movie.
Neil, I want to thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here in D.C. at Silver Docks.
Michael Paul Stevenson co-starred in Troll 2 as the kid. He now has made a documentary called Best Worst Movie, and he was kind enough to join us today in Studio 3A. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, for gays and lesbians, the experience of coming out is unique and fluctuates somewhere between terror and catharsis. We'll talk about coming out tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.